Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers who are listening, both biological and spiritual fathers. Today is your day. It's a day when we honour and celebrate you and the influence you have had on our society today. So again, happy Father's Day to you all, and thank you for all that you do. And we're not alone in celebrating Father's Day. Over 111 countries also have a Father's Day. So that's 111 countries, or more than that, which recognise and acknowledge the role of a father, and who say, you know what, fathers are important and they are to be honoured. So again, happy Father's Day to all you fathers who are listening. So yes, today we honour our fathers. But today's message doesn't just focus on the role of a father, but on the role of parenting and the roles and responsibilities that we all as adults have concerning children. Because now more than ever, the younger generation need Christian role models. So before I get into the sermon, I want to start off by warning you that some of you may find some of the things I'm about to share shocking or distressing. Nonetheless, I am going to share it because this is the reality of the world in which our young people are growing up in. And we have been given children as a gift from God, and it's our duty to protect and to guide them. And we can only do that effectively once we understand some of the things that they are faced with. So we all know that children and young people tend to spend a lot of time on their devices. And a study carried out by BBC revealed that children aged between 5 and 16 spend on average 6.5 hours a day in front of a screen. So that's including mobile phones, computers, laptops, televisions, and all other electronic devices. But another study estimated that more than this, they said that children spend up to 8 hours a day on devices. And so as part of the research, they asked a 17-year-old who was part of the research, you know, what do you guys do on your computers for so long, on these devices for so long? What is it that you're doing? And she answered, on a typical day, you spend most of your time simply checking social media apps like Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, browsing, sharing posts, taking pictures, chatting to friends and seeing what is going on in the world. Now, this research was carried out in 2017. So I guess if it was to be done again, there will be other social media platforms like Twitter on there as well. And for some of us, we might think, oh, well, that's okay. It's children and young people. They spend most of their time on devices. There's nothing harmful about it. And I guess depending on what your children are doing online, it can be harmless. In fact, it can be quite educational and effective. However, we know that children and teenagers learn firstly by observing and listening. We often say that children's brains are like sponges and they soak in everything. And ultimately, that which they soak in begins to form their identity, their values, and their principles. So really, what these statistics reveal to us is that for up to 6 to 8 hours a day, our children and our young people are potentially being influenced by the ways of the world. The same world which Scripture tells us not to love. The same world which Scripture tells us not to conform to. The same world which we are told not to have friendship with is the same world our children and our young people are being formed and influenced by. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 reads this: for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world which offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see and a pride in our achievements and possessions. It is this same world which our children and our young people are being influenced by. And if we want to use the statistics, then that's 56 hours a week our children are being influenced by the ways of the world. And so with our young generation spending so much time online and on the internet, I decided to do a little bit of research. And I came across a website called Teen Vogue. So some of you may know Vogue is a fashion magazine. And so they have a Teen Vogue, and it's a magazine for teenage girls aged between 13 and 19. Now, Teen Vogue have 3 million followers on Instagram, and they have 5.7 on Facebook. So anyways, I popped to their website, and I had a little search around, and I found a section called Identity. Now, this is a section for teenagers to go to kind of understand who they might be. And so I clicked onto the Identity page, and loads of different articles come up. And I'm just going to read to you 4 articles, the titles of 4 articles that came up when I looked in this section. So one of them said, "Star Madison Bailey is pansexual and thinks she might be too. And thinks you might be too. Her words are, 'To be honest, I don't believe in straight people. They are as real as unicorns to me.'" Another article title read, "Anal sex, safety, how-tos, tips, and more." And another title, "How to have sex after trauma." And another title, "Free spells to magically heal the environment this Earth Day." That's Teen Vogue's magazine online under the Identity section. Teen Vogue, who have 3 million followers on Instagram and 5.7 million likes on Facebook. Saints of God, these are just some of the websites and articles our children and young people are being influenced by. Instagram, it's another social media platform where you can follow just about anyone, including famous people. Beyonce happens to fall into the top 10 of the most amount of followers, and she has 148 million followers. With having so much followers, we can assume that quite a few of those will be young people. And so I clicked onto her Instagram, and the first post I saw was a picture of 2 women in a tight black dress with angel wings on their back. And so when I explored this picture and I opened it, what it was 2 sisters who are music artists, and they have just released their album called Ungodly Hour. So basically, Beyonce was promoting their album. So I typed up on Google, Ungodly Hour, to find out what this album was about. And the description I came across was, "Ungodly Hour is a cohesive record with melodies that exude sensuality, empowerment, and fun. It leaves behind a sister's perfect angel image and shows the different layers and growth as young women." You can only imagine what some of the tracks on the album are about. Saints of God, these are just some of the artists that our young people and our children are being influenced by. And of course, we have music, another big influence for children and young people. So again, I decided, okay, let me have a look at the top 3 R&B tracks that are out at the moment. And so I did, and I found them. And I'm going to read to you lyrics that are in these top 3 songs. So the first one, "I'm going through withdrawals, you don't even have to do too much, you can turn me on with just one touch." The second track, which was in the top 10, some of the lyrics from that track says, "Boy, stop playing, grab my A word, why you acting like you're shy, shut it, save it, keep it pushing." And then lyrics from another song, which is on the top hits, is, "Oh baby, everything you do is amazing. Ain't nobody watching, go crazy." Saints of God, these are just some of the lyrics that our children and our young people are being influenced by every day. The Children's Society is a large organisation which works for and supports young people. And they produced a report on county lines. And the report showed that over 4,000 teenagers in London alone are being exploited through child criminal exploitation or county lines. The Met Police have said that in the past, youths caught carrying knives were often involved with gangs. However, up to 75% of the youths that have knives on them now are not associated with gangs. Samaritan's Charity produced a report on suicide, identifying that in 2018, 759 young people took their own lives. And that the rates are highest in men aged 20 to 24. And that somewhere between 20,000 and 3,000 young people were admitted to hospital for attempted suicide and self-harm. Saints of God, these are just some of the horrific realities that our children and our young people are facing today. See, the truth of the situation is this. Our children and our young people are under spiritual attack. And we need to be aware and we need to be able to protect them. See, in a world like this, our children don't need us to leave a legacy, houses and money and cars. They need us to live a legacy. They don't just need to hear about resurrected life. We need to allow them to observe, to see and to witness resurrected life through the way that we as the adults in their life live. You see, there's hope because although children and young people are being influenced by the world, ultimately they are influenced by the adults who are active in their lives. That's why our role is so important. There's a familiar saying, it says, the strength of a nation is derived from the integrity of its home. The strength of a nation is derived from the integrity of its homes. You see, one thing we know for sure is that children always tend to copy the adults in their lives. Now, sometimes this can be a really good thing, and other times it can be a really bad thing. Sometimes children copy us when they're children, or sometimes they grow up and they still copy what their parents used to do or the adults in their lives used to do. A friend once sent me a video of her husband mowing the lawn, and she had a little toddler, they have a toddler, and he was also standing next to his dad and copying everything that his dad done. And that's just a small example of how children tend to copy what the adults in their lives are doing around them. And I remember when we was younger, me and my siblings, whenever it was hot, summertime, we would come home from school, and if we heard reggae music playing from the house, we knew kind of automatically that my dad would be in the garden and probably had the barbecue going. It was nothing big, it was no massive barbecue, it was just the sausages and chicken, and he would just have the barbecue going and the music playing, and that became sort of like a norm for us in the summer. And of course, now that we are older, we really do value having barbecues, especially my older sister, who has two younger kids. Whenever the sun comes out, they're in the garden, they either have the barbecue or they'll bring the grill outside and start to have some food out there. And so you see, we tend to copy when we're children. But like I said, sometimes we copy the good and other times we copy the bad. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, probably the most prominent fathers in the book of Genesis. And for those of you who may not know, Abraham is the father of Isaac, and Isaac is the father of Jacob. Now, in Genesis chapter 26, we read that Isaac was in a foreign land. He was with his wife, and the men in that land asked Isaac about his wife, and scripture reads this. When the men of that place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," because he was too afraid to say, "She is my wife." Isaac, who was a grown man, he only copied exactly what his father Abraham did. Because before in Genesis chapter 20, we read that Abraham did that exact thing that his son did. There Abraham in the same land his son was in, said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." You see, although Isaac was all grown up, he lied. He lied exactly the way his father did. And it seems that this seemed to pass on to Jacob as well. Jacob, he was Isaac's son, because Jacob had this characteristic of deceit in him. In fact, the meaning of Jacob's name is he deceives. He grasps the hill. And indeed, if you know the story of Jacob, he did his fair share of deceiving. And it's not just fathers who children copy, but children also copy their mothers. Jacob married both sisters, Leah and Rachel. And we read that there was nothing but jealousy between these two. Jealousy and hostility between them. It's no wonder that Jacob's children also had jealousy and hostility between both of them. Jacob's sons were continuing to fight for their father's affection. It didn't come from anywhere. They did that because they'd seen their mums do the same thing all their lives. Their mums were fighting for their father's affection. King David, who had a thing for the ladies. And so it ended up that his son Solomon also ended up having a thing for the ladies. And it was actually that which brought him down and led to his downfall. And I share these accounts to remind us all of how children in our lives, the children in our care, the children in our churches are shaped by the things that we as the adults around them say and do. We as adults help to shape the nation by the way we shape our children's values. And so when our children and our young people take their eyes away from social media, are they confronted by behavior and attitudes which go against the ways of the world? Does our behavior affirm the ways of the world or oppose the ways of the world? When social media tells our young women that everything is about looks and how beautiful and seductive you can be, how do we as an adult that God has placed in their lives show them the truth, which is charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised? When social media tells our children and our young people they're not good enough yet, how do we as the adults in their lives show them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made by the hands of God? When the lyrics of songs tell our children and young people that it's all about how many people you can have sex with, how do we as the adults in their life help them to understand that God desires them to be holy, staying away from sexual sin, controlling their bodies, and saving the gift of sex for marriage? And when the enemy whispers in our children's ears that they're worth nothing and might as well end it all, how do we as adults show them that they are precious in the eyes of God and that God has an amazing plan for them? You see, now more than ever, our children do not need us to leave a legacy. They need us to live a legacy. Paul, in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus, addresses the family dynamics and he gives them instructions for a fruitful Christian home. He gives them this instruction in chapter 6, verse 4. Parents, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in training and in instruction of the Lord. And in the Amplified Version, it reads this: fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable, or humiliating or abusive, nor by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them. But bring them up in tenderly love, with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In Greek, the meaning of bring them up conveys the idea of nurture. So Paul instructs the parents to nurture, train, and instruct children in the ways of the Lord. And this doesn't just apply to parents, but to all of us as adults who have a role in a child's life. We're called to nurture, to train, and to instruct our children, not just in anything, but in the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord are good, righteous, pure, and just. And I love the word nurture because it's such a rich word to use. Because when you think of nurture, it doesn't just describe an action. There's almost this emotion that comes with it of affection and concern. You see, whatever we nurture, we're always alert, we're always observing it. We're staying on God, we're staying close by to provide it with whatever it needs. You know, for many of us, during lockdown, when the sun came out, we decided to venture into the garden, for those of us who have gardens. And I did the same thing. I went out in the garden and it was a mess. So I said, you know what, I need to sort this out. So I started to clean, I started to pull up the weeds, and, you know, I started to water the plants. And I enjoyed watching them kind of grow. But then the weather changed and I kind of neglected the garden altogether. But I went back out there and I realized that one of the plants which was growing, a weed had sort of wrapped itself around it. And it was kind of pulling the plant down. It was almost choking it in a way. And as I looked at it, it reminded me of the parable of the four soils that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 22 reads this: the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, making it unfruitful. And I thought, we as adults, as parents, we nurture our children in the ways of the Lord. But with our children being so heavily influenced by the ways of the world, how many thorns are growing and choking them? How many thorns are stopping them from being fruitful? How many thorns are pulling them down? You see, if we as the adults who are called to nurture these children allow these thorns to grow, the enemy will have an absolute field day with them. Of course, we can't visibly see the thorns that are growing in them. We can only identify them with the help of God, asking for discernment, but also by being involved in our children's lives, by having those deep conversations with them. What do they think about creation? What do they think about relationships? What do they really believe about Jesus? Do they even believe in the gospel? And if not, why? What is their opinion of good and evil? And when they give answers that are not in line with God's truth, do we shout and scream at them? Or are we prepared to engage in what can really be challenging conversations? Acknowledging where they're at and starting from there, not being forceful. Remember, Jesus, who is our Father, always meets us where we're at, and he guides us in the way of righteousness and truth. He doesn't shove us. He doesn't ignore our questions. He values them and patiently walks with us. How can we respond to our children like Jesus responds to us? Jesus doesn't create a relationship with us where we're afraid to approach him. Instead, he creates this relationship when we know we can approach him about absolutely anything and find safety and rest in him. When our children and our young people become overwhelmed and confused by the world, have we created a relationship where they know they can come to us? And of course, I know sometimes they don't come to us, or they take very, very long to come to us. But nonetheless, have we created that relationship where they know they can approach us? Are we a place of refuge for our children? Because now, more than ever, our children don't need us to leave a legacy. They need us to live a legacy. One of the things we really need to acknowledge when we're talking about nurturing, instructing, and teaching our children in the ways of God is that they have been born into a postmodern era. A postmodern era is one which says anything goes. One which says there's no absolute truth. One where meta-narratives, where the big story, things like the Bible, where the Quran, they actually don't really mean that much. See, the postmodern era says it's all about experiencing. If I can experience it, then it is real. So just some food for thought when we're trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our children. How do we do so, recognizing the error in which they have been born into? Food for thought. So we've looked at nurturing. Unfortunately, time doesn't permit me to talk on the role of training and instruction. But one thing I want to point out about both of these things, training and instruction, cannot happen without discipline. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 24 reads this. A refusal to correct is a refusal to love. Love your children by disciplining them. And that was in the Message version. And so the final and most crucial thing I want to close on, the final and most crucial thing that we as parents, as caregivers, as older brothers, older sisters, aunties, uncles, the most crucial thing we can do is bring our children before our Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, constantly interceding for them. Our main scripture reading today, which was John chapter 4, verses 46 to 53, demonstrates how able and how ready and how faithful Jesus is to respond when we intercede on behalf of our children. We read of how this royal official, seeing that his son was close to death, traveled all the way from Capernaum to Galilee, which was roughly about 20 hours. That's a 20-hour walk. He did this walk to intercede on behalf of his son. You see, this man's situation may differ to our own situations. Nonetheless, he demonstrates good parenting. He knew the greatest thing he could do for his child was to bring him to Jesus in prayer. He sacrificed his time by giving up 20 hours to walk to Jesus. And I'm 100% sure that many of us have prayed for hours and hours and hours for our children. And we should continue to do so, for God is faithful. This man that we read of was determined. Verse 47 says he begged Jesus to heal his son. And again in verse 49, he asked Jesus again, "Sir, come down before my child dies." This man was relentless. See, we need to pray without ceasing, for God is faithful. He took Jesus at his word. And he had faith that Jesus would do what he said he would do. And we too need to have faith that Jesus will do what he says he will do, because Jesus is faithful. And indeed, the man's son was healed. You see, one of the most amazing things I find about this story is that in bringing his child to Jesus, Jesus was able to heal. In bringing his child to Jesus, he was able to witness the power of Jesus. And this resulted in his whole family, including himself, believing in God. Now, we don't know if this man left a legacy. We don't know if he left a house or money. But his actions and his faith, we can be certain that he lived a legacy. His family now believed and trusted in Jesus, and they would have learned to bring everything to the Lord in prayer, for he is faithful. You see, this sermon is not a rebuke. It's not a how to be the perfect parent, how to be the perfect role model, for there is no such thing. It's just a reminder of the world in which our children and our young people are confronted with all the time. And it's an encouragement for us to turn to the Word of God, which gives us instructions on how to nurture, to instruct, and to guide our children in the ways of God. The world has an influence on our children, but we as adults in their life have the biggest influence on them ever. And so we need to live a legacy. Now, I know that the role of parenting or looking after children is not an easy one. And I know that because I remember, well, actually, I still do it. I know some of the things, some of the stress I have put my parents through. And I've also seen some of the things that my brothers and my sisters have put my parents through. But I just want to close by sharing a bit of a testimony to encourage those who are parenting, those who are looking after children, just to encourage you in your roles and what you're doing. See, I was brought up in a Christian home whereby my mum used to go to church all the time, and she would take us as the kids with her. And in doing so, I was able to kind of understand, you know, what was good and what was evil, although I didn't make a commitment to follow Christ. But I knew, you know, what was good, what was bad, what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. And my mum reinforced those things as well. And so when I went off to university for the first time, I went to Leicester. I was away from home for the first time ever, and I got caught up in the uni lifestyle, and I'd realised that I was just doing a bit too much, that this wasn't right. And I only knew that because all the effort that my mum had put into making sure that I would go to church, to making sure that she reinforced what she was taught at church to me. That was the first time I left home. That's the first time I went to university. I was in my first year, and it was in my first year which I decided to give my life to Christ, and it was in my first year I got baptized. You see, sometimes you think that what you're saying to us parents is going through one ear and out the other. That is a lie. It never goes through one ear and out the other. It goes in one ear, and it might sit in us somewhere where we don't recognize, but it's in us. And so when we get to the lowest points, it's those words that you encouraged us with, it's those words that you taught us that come back to the surface when we're in need. So don't ever think that your efforts are wasted. Don't ever think that your words don't mean anything. They mean everything. So I finish on this truth which the Bible tells us. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Leave a legacy.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.